Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast, another special Dog Pack Discord episode. Going to preview the Jacksonville game tonight along with some of the Dog Pack members who decided to stay up late with us. We've said all the time, this Dog Pack spans across the globe. So I know we got one guy in here. It's 2 a.m. where he is, and he's hanging in here tough, being an audio engineer, going to give us some of his Browns input. So normally I plug the Discord at the end, but if you like this format and you want to be one of these people who gets to get their thoughts in on the show and be a part of the episodes, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. You get access to the private Discord. You get to play fantasy football with us. You get to be a part of these episodes. I think we're going to be doing previews like this year, getting everybody from the Dog Pack's input on what they want to see out of the team going into their upcoming game. So it's going to be a really cool, fun season doing these Discord episodes. You also get to just kind of talk and hang out with us and make a lot of really good friends from all over the place that are Browns fans. We get into everything from sports to just pretty much anything in life that gets talked about in the Discord. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you like this setup, you think it'd be cool to get your thoughts on the show, you want to talk with us one-on-one, it's jointhedogs.com to become an official Dog Pack member. Again, if you want to get intros and voicemails on the show, you head to thedogspodcast.com. You just tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. If you're watching on YouTube and you have subscribed already, thank you very much. We officially hit the 10,000 subscriber mark just a couple days ago. It seems like some of these guys have been around. I mean, we used to have 10. I mean, honestly, obviously we had zero at one point, but to get to 10,000 is something we definitely didn't think was ever going to happen, considering I think it took over a year to get to 1,000 or 100. I can't remember which one it was that, like, where it took a long time to get to, I think, 100, and then took a long time to get to 1,000. And then since then, it just kind of, you guys have carried us to where we are now. So we appreciate you guys helping us out, supporting the show for the last four and a half years, becoming a subscriber and being three little boys' dreams come true. I get to sit around and talk about the Browns with you guys. So we appreciate that. If you haven't yet subscribed, please do so. It helps us out, helps grow the show. Make sure everybody has that notification bell tapped so you don't miss any of the new content we're putting out. You don't want to miss any of our preview episodes that we're doing here in the Discord with the Dog Pack members. You definitely don't want to miss any of our reaction episodes. Post game, either, you know, day of or most likely the day after the game. You don't want to miss any of that. So make sure that notification bell is tapped. If you prefer to just listen to shows, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. You can also find us on all the major social media platforms. Just search at the Dogs Podcast. Typically, this is where I would plug the Dog Pack. That's already done, so we can just dive into it. Obviously, we're going to preview the Jacksonville game. But considering it's, I don't know about you guys, does it feel like week two or does it feel like week 14? I feel like I've aged an insane amount in the last 5 days. So we have more to talk about tonight than, unfortunately, than just previewing the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think we're going to take the first part of this, talk about like Browns news and particular Deshaun news, and get Dogpack members' thoughts on how they see this going and what they want to see out of Deshaun, and what they think is going to happen. And then we're going to get that stuff out of the way, because obviously everybody's got a lot of thoughts on that. And then we're going to move into the Jacksonville preview, where we talk about what we want to see in Jacksonville. So I know, I guess, do we want to invite somebody in? Do we want to give our thoughts real quick? How do you guys?
Well, I was going to say, do you want me to play Kenny Mack? Because Kenny Mack can't join us tonight. He's at a concert. So he sent in a couple of voicemails.
Oh, he's at a concert.
So I thought we could kick off this Deshaun discussion with his voicemail, if that's cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yo, guys, it is Kenny Mack, and I'm just calling about the quarterback situation. Guys, I hear a lot of people that want Baker back and they want Brissett back and Flacco. Guys, it's not going to happen. We are going to have Deshaun Watson. He is playing terrible, and I can get what you're saying, but be realistic about your comments. I mean, for Jacoby, when he left, there wasn't a big draw for him. He also didn't have a winning record with us. I know it's tough and the defense sold him out a bit, but he's not going to last the whole year as a starter for the Patriots. Next up is Flacco. I mean, he did amazing, came off the couch, won a bunch of games for us, but that was a six-game sample, and I think he got found out in that playoff game, and he's still probably not going to see the field this year. As far as wanting Baker Mayfield, I mean, sure, I would have wanted to play the Commanders instead of the Cowboys, instead of having Baker Mayfield, but you'll see what happens to him when he plays a top 10 defense in the Lions this week. Overall, I mean, with Deshaun Watson, I don't know where this guy's going to go. I'm tired of the hijinks with this dude. It's just a never-ending calamity with this guy, and I just think I want to move on, but we're stuck with the dude. Give me your thoughts on the quarterback situation. I'm out.
I mean, if somebody wants to jump up on stage, just put your hand up and we'll bring you on up.
I got some thoughts on some of the stuff Kenny said in terms of bringing back past quarterbacks. Flacco thing, guys, he's 100 years old. And obviously, we all had Flacco fever. We had Flacco around find out t-shirts in the shop. Like, nobody's not grateful for what Joe Flacco did last year. And we don't think that Joe Flacco isn't like a stand-up dude that you would like to have on your football team. If you think you're just going to plug Joe Flacco in and get 17 game like run to the, you know, through the regular season into the playoffs, guys, he threw at least, I think he didn't, he throw at least one pick six every single game he started.
I don't know, I mean, if it was a pick six, but he definitely threw picks in every game.
Yes. I mean, like, it was unsustainable. And my dad likes to bring up Joe Flacco a lot. And so I said, we have Amos Winston's Joe Flacco. He's just younger and blacker, you know, like they're both gunslinger guys who are just going to go out there and huck it, chuck it football. And they might throw for 404 touchdowns and no picks. Or they might throw for 404 touchdowns and four picks. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get out of them. We have that guy on the roster right now. He's just younger. Okay. And by all accounts, everybody in the locker room really likes Jameis. Like, I think he's a guy that they would rally around and play for. The Brissett thing, guys, like, come on. He, again, another guy who did an amicable job here in Cleveland, but he's not a long-term answer. And I'm not saying that I'm going to bat for Deshaun here and saying he is based off the play we saw just, you know, this past week. Kobe wasn't the answer either. So you can't fault organization for trying to take a swing on, you know, a guy who's in his career, obviously was better than Jacoby the entire time. Then as far as the Baker stuff is concerned, Baker was here for 4 years. He was awful for two of them, and he was solid two of them. Okay, like, even his best year was still just like a 10 to 12 in the league QB. It's not like Baker was ever top. He's still not a top five quarterback, guys. It's week one. I know it feels like it's week 15, like I said. He's had one good game this year. He went 9-8 in the worst division in football this year. Or last year. And the thing that kills me is the Browns should not be clowned as like this team that gave up Baker. Now look what they got. They're so stupid. Carolina Panthers were the last team to give him up. And he's now in their division and going to beat them twice a year. So who is dumber? You know, like, I'm so tired of the Browns being clowned on for the Baker thing. He didn't play for us last. He went to the Panthers. He went to the Rams. Obviously, you know why the Rams didn't bring him back. But if anybody should be getting clowned, you would think it'd be the Panthers, who let the guy go for nothing, and now he's in their division and going to beat them twice a year. To me, that is more clown-worthy than the Browns, who, I don't know if anybody remembers, we went to bat for Baker for 4 years, and everybody told us how bad he was. Everybody said he sucked. The national media hated him. You couldn't find a TV program on the national stage that said Baker was good for the Browns and Baker was going to take us where to go. Nobody thought that. The only reason they're saying, hindsight 2020, the only reason they're saying that now is because they like to shit on Cleveland. That's literally the only reason. So I don't want to hear about past quarterbacks. If Baker goes on to be a 10-time Pro Bowler, good for him. I don't hate Baker by any stretch of the imagination, but he wasn't that here. And it was obvious he wasn't going to be that here. He's grown up. You have to admit, Baker has grown up a ton. Turns out being released by two teams and having one foot out the door in terms of even being in the NFL, it'll make you do some growing up. And he seems like he's matured, and now maybe he'll have a good career down in Tampa Bay. I'm happy for him. He wasn't that in Cleveland. So you just shut the door on that. That's stupid.
Totally agree. Pastor Rob's got his hand up, so let's get him up here on stage. Pastor Rob, what's going on, man?
Not a lot. It's 2 a.m. carrying on from what Blake was saying, where Flacco is Winston, I would say Baker is a worse Winston, because Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay did way better with that team than Baker did last year, or even in their first game against a really bad Washington team. He will have good games because Mike Evans is a really good receiver. Just, he's going to catch balls. They've got a really good offensive line, and they've got a really good team around him. He's just going to have good games, but he's going to have Baker games where he just disappears. But ignore Baker.
No, I would even take it a step further from what you're saying, Pastor Rob. Is not only does he have Mike Evans, but he also has Chris Godwin and Rashad White and Bucky Irvin. Tristan Wirfs is an All-Pro. Their offensive situation is pretty nice. I mean, it's set up pretty perfectly. It was almost like how, you know, we felt those years in Cleveland with, you know, there's studs at a lot of positions. And, you know, like Blake said, he's showing up, and good for him, like Blake said. But I'm also in the same camp with people that are saying we need to go and make a trade for Baker. First off, Tampa Bay is not trading Baker. Baker will never be a Cleveland Brown again. And I say that it is what it is. You know, Cleveland Browns made that decision, and I still to this day will stand on that decision that at the time, the team, the fans, for the most part, other than Baker Bros, didn't think that he was the guy that was going to be able to take us to that next step. And so they made the move, and they gave up a lot. And at the time, I was okay with it, because for my entire life, we couldn't figure it out as far as drafting a quarterback. Now, has it gone the way that, you know, we've thought it would go? Obviously not, but I'm not going to sit here now and go, oh, well, you know, we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. The Cleveland Browns, so let's just sit on our hands and not do anything, just hope for the best. They made a move, it was risky, and it's, you know, it looks like we're pretty sure the end of it is coming eventually. You know, I don't think that this is going to be a 180 move and all of a sudden he's going to be throwing for 350 and three touchdowns this weekend.
I do think this weekend is going to be a vast departure from last weekend. Because last week...
I don't know.
Last week we were playing... We want to crap on the Cowboys. Everybody hates the Cowboys. But, like, they actually have a good team. I think the coaching staff are questionable, although they made us look very bad in every phase, in defense and offense. Just crapped on us pretty much, but that's a good team. It's a good team. They'll piss the bed in the in the playoffs as they always do, because that's just how the Cowboys work now. But this week, we're not playing the Cowboys. We're playing a vastly, vastly inferior team to them. I think you've got a good chance of having a good game this weekend. I'm not saying we're going to be like, oh, it's lighting the world up, but it's not going to be as bad as it was last week. Everybody seems to be at peak. I think the whole Cleveland seems to be at tipping point of like, the world is falling. It's the apocalypse happening now. I don't think we're at that point. I think people just need to like take a breath, take a little bit of a chill, and there's a lot of season to go. Sorry, Justin.
No, you're good, brother. No, I do agree with you. Trust me. I've been here many a times at week two and gone, hey, you know, like this isn't, the season's not over. But what I will say is, as far as like comparing, you know, defensive front for Dallas and the defensive front for Jacksonville, they've got some dudes. And they've got some dudes that can get after the quarterback. Josh Hines Allen is a for real dude. He's a dude that, you know, I would put him in a top 10 conversation with guys that can get after the quarterback easily. You also have Trayvon Walker, and then they also added Arik Armstead. So they're going to be bringing pressure. And I guess going into this weekend, that I have concerns there, you know, based on, you know, what we saw last weekend.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. But I think that based around the fact that this team, or let's go to Deshaun, because Deshaun is the prime target at the moment. Kenny was talking about him being a distraction and he's sick of all the extra things. I don't think Deshaun is bringing this on. This is obviously coming from the things that are happening around it, and I don't think we want to talk about the illegal stuff, because I think that's just a too long a conversation, and there's no good in that conversation at the moment at all. But from the football wise, he had a lot of things in his head coming into that previous game. He just lost his dad like the day before the game, and there was a lot of things going on that made him like have a lot going on. And I would say that the common thread of, oh, it's rust, but it's rust for not the reason why we had previous rust. It was rust because he's coming out of rehabilitating his arm and stuff like that. It's a horrible thing to keep saying, oh, well, he's rusty, but there is going to be that rust. It's going to happen because he's rehabilitating an arm. He's going to get that back to playing level, and he didn't play in the preseason. That's a Kevin Stefanski thing. I'm hoping that we get more of a defensive coordinator's system rather than Kevin Stefanski's passive, let's do everything, take no risks going down the field. He's a little too conservative at times, Kevin. That's his biggest weakness. I would really like if he gave up play calling as well. But like, that's where I'm sitting. What are your thoughts on that sort of stuff going forward?
Big news, Dog Pack. We are thrilled to announce we have a partnership now with BetStamp and Sign Up Expert, opening up an incredible opportunity for you to join some of our favorite sports books and get the best odds and new user offers this NFL season. Head over to our dedicated page at signupexpert.com/dogs, DAWGS, to explore a whole selection of sports books tailored to your region, each with unique offerings for you. If you guys are ready to take your sports betting to the next level this NFL season, head over to signupexpert.com/dogs, DAWGS, and check out the new user offers and the best odds on all the sports books. That's signupexpert.com/dogs. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball, nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BadenSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BadenSports.com/dogs. Hey, Browns fans, have you guys ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible to make the game of football make sense. First downs and punts and field goals and scoring and all that kinds of stuff. Meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. The way Future Fans teach the game of football is so unique and effective. As an example, they've created a beanbag toss game with four tries to teach how first downs work in football, and then later connect those games back to the sport itself through a storybook that you read with your kids. Seriously, go check out the reviews of this thing. They have a 4.9 on Amazon. Imagine having your kid asked to watch football on Sundays with you, where all the ups and downs with your favorite team, Browns. That's what dreams are made of, though, right there, and Future Fans exist to make them a reality. So if you want your kids to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99. When you go to futurefans.com, use the code DOGS and get 10% off. Unlock a lifetime of memories with the kids in your life starting now.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
In terms of play calling, I've always been okay with Kevin calling plays, but based on what I just saw, and we heard the stats about how we were the lowest team in the league in pre-snap motion and motion at the snap of the ball. We talked about how you're supposed to be having this new offense, this more wide open attack, and yada yada yada. And then we saw none of it. So if I'm been okay with Kevin calling plays, but if he's not going to be comfortable enough to call what is supposed to be a new offensive system, then give it to Ken Dorsey. Like, what was the point? You know, if it was, we talked about this going into the season. If it was going to be a collaborative effort, and you know, like everybody in the headset was talking, and yeah, Kevin was going to be the one relaying the plays into the quarterback, but it's going to be kind of like a group decision and talking about stuff. You know, I don't think any of that happened. At least it doesn't feel like that happened. So if he's not going to be comfortable enough to call those kinds of plays and he doesn't, I don't know it well enough, or just give it to Ken Dorsey, because if not, what was the point in bringing in Ken Dorsey, Tommy Rees, all these guys, these offensive minded guys to help revamp the offense? What was the point?
Yeah. So Pastor Rob, thanks for your questions. You can jump back up here later, but I want to get some other voices up here. So Devontae, what's going on, brother?
I don't know if others can hear me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I've been kind of looking at this Deshaun Watson thing from a different side. I like what Pastor Rob said. Like, what he went through a couple days before the game, losing his father and then also losing who he called his brother. That's a lot mentally. Now, some people, like we see Brett Favre, he's able to put on a show. Other people, it's just too much at that time. But what I'll say is, one of the things that I think hurts Cleveland fans the most is we've seen every other team get a quarterback. The Detroit Lions even had a quarterback, and they were like our cousins, because if we were bad, they were bad. They were bad, we were bad. The Minnesota Vikings, although he's injured, they seem to have found another quarterback. You know, Washington has their quarterback. Carolina, hopefully, has their quarterback. But everybody's like found their quarterback for the little bit of time. We've had Baker for 4 years. And like, I forget who said it earlier. I think it was Blake who said it. It was 4 years too good, too okay. And Skip Bayless, for example, kept hanging on to the final 11 games, especially the game against Cincinnati, where he threw the back shoulder fade to, I think it was either Donovan Peoples-Jones or Higgins, with like 26 seconds left. So everybody's hanging on to that. Like, see, we never should have let him go. Never should have let him go. Instead of realizing that he was immature, he had an ego, he got humbled, he went to Carolina, got humbled again, went to Los Angeles. Everybody blew up because he had the one game where he got signed on a Wednesday. They played on a Thursday when they won the game. Stop looking backwards is what I would say to fans. Let's look forward. Yes, Deshaun has been horrible. He was horrible Sunday. The whole entire team was horrible Sunday. The water boy was horrible Sunday. The field workers were horrible Sunday. But let's have a little bit of a positive outlook. I'm more positive on Sunday's game because Jacksonville was not that tough of a good opponent. Dallas Cowboys are very tough defense. But I think, honestly, I think the defense is going to show up. And I honestly think we're going to see a little tiny, 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 tiny bit of Watson to him being himself. Maybe it's just me looking at it from a different way, but I think that it'll be a positive outlook for him. I think that he's going to use everything going on this week to just get on the football field and just say, F you all, I'm going to go play the game that I want to play. And we'll see if it comes out to a win. Overall, I think the team will be better. And like everybody's saying, Kevin, if it's not going to be you, give Ken Dorsey the kitchen, please. Let him cook. Just let him cook. We've seen what Kevin can do, what Kevin cannot do. Just let Kevin do his thing. Well, let Dorsey do his thing. My bad, guys.
No, you're good. I think one thing you said there, too, for sure. I know I'm going to bounce you down here to the audience real quick, but Blake would probably agree that seeing a tiny, tiny bit of Deshaun Watson play his game on Sunday is not going to be enough.
We can kind of soft transition into talking about this week a little bit here. I don't know if there's ever been a must win in a week two before, but in the way we lost week one, this almost feels like a must win in terms of if we lose, and if we lose
bad,
Deshaun plays poorly, and if the whole team plays poorly again, and we start 0-2, and it was two bad losses, and Deshaun looked bad in both of them. This fan base can't handle it. This media can't handle it. Like, I don't know. Pastor Rob said, kind of has like an apocalypse type feeling. If we lose to Jacksonville and if we lose ugly, it's going to be the sky is falling. There will be, it'll be doomsday, judgment day if that happens. So he's got to look night and day this week. That's the way I look at it. Because if we come out and he has a, you know, a 59% completion percentage and maybe throws for a touchdown, but he also throws for a pick, but really it's the defense that dominates and we win 17-14, still not going to go away. He's got, at some point, he's got to start looking like the guy that we traded for. Because we all justified moving on from Baker because we said this up and down, have to have everything around you perfect. That's not the way to reach the next level in the NFL. You can't then, like 2 years later, 3 years later, turn around and make those excuses for Deshaun. That's hypocritical. That's stupid. I'm not going to do that. He needs to come out and play well. Like we've gotten to the point. I think the reason it's the sky's falling attitude right now is because what we saw last year was still not good enough, in my opinion, but we saw some flashes, especially, you know, the second half of the Ravens game. All we heard the entire offseason from the media, from the coaches, from the players, was this new offense. Sean said he's as healthy as he's ever been. He feels great. This is the best he's ever felt. The shoulder's good now coming into the season. All this stuff. So the bar was set. Like Njoku said, it's going to be fireworks, lots of touchdowns. And then the preseason, we're like, I'm not catching that vibe right now. But maybe, you know, maybe it's just the backups. And then we come into the regular season, and it's quite arguably some of the worst offensive play / quarterback play. I mean, maybe any of us have ever watched in an NFL football game. It's demoralizing for a fan base when you've just been told for the last 6 months that it's going to be different. He's going to be good. This is it. You're going to come out. And we know Dallas is a good team, but turns out we're supposed to be a good team too. And good teams don't get blown out at home, you know, by other good teams. You know who does? Bad teams. And so it's like, here we go again. This was supposed to be the year like that he puts it all together. This defense is healthy. We're healthy at the beginning of the year. Everything is good. And we do that. So if we go down to Jacksonville and lose ugly again, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm going to be 100% honest. If he plays as poorly as he just did, I don't know if you can trot him out week three. I know that might sound insane to I'm not advocating for him to be benched after 1 week, because even though it feels like it's week 15, because it's just been a really long 5 days, it's still only 1 week. You still get to have one bad football game. But if you have two bad football games on top of always being injured, on top of when you do play, I think I heard he's 42nd out of like 45 eligible quarterbacks in terms of QBR since he's come to the Browns. There's only 32 starting quarterbacks.
I was going to bring up the QBR thing. I watched, I don't know if you saw Quincy Carrier's video the other day breaking down Deshaun
Watson. I haven't got to see it yet.
Watson,
I've heard
everything.
About it.
The big thing that he was harping on was the 9 QBR that he posted on Sunday. And he was like, that's not just bad. That's horrifically bad. It was worse than Bryce Young and Daniel Jones and Bo Nix. And it was worse than anybody else in the NFL in week one. It was worse than DTR's Baltimore Ravens game last year. It was worse than anything PJ Walker did last year. And whenever he started to put it in that perspective, I was like, that was a very bad game on Sunday. It was just really bad. So that, you know, we talked leading up to the game. All I wanted to see was just go out there and be competitive. Like if we lose, whatever. But you know, if we lose by a field goal or like a late touchdown or whatever, but I want to see a competitive game. I want to know that's right. We went toe to toe with Dallas at home, gave it everything we had. We look good. We have some things to fix, but we have things to build on. We look like ass, just total. So that's why the concern level just immediately spiked for me.
If we lose, if he threw for 250 and two touchdowns, even if he had a pick, but he looked good and we lost on a last second field goal, everybody in Cleveland would be like, well, that's all right. Dallas is good. You know, we didn't play much in the preseason. We came out and we went with them. The sky's the limit. Here we go. But the complete opposite happened. And it's about maybe a couple more minutes on this before we transition into the Jacksonville game. I don't know how realistic it is to expect them to come out and ball out this week in terms of, I think everybody can kind of agree, like mentally seems to be a big issue for him. And all that's happened is, it's not like you get over a father dying in 5 days. And so now for compounding that on top of new allegations, possible suspensions, losing $97 million, the whole entire Cleveland fan base is down on you. You're going to get booed in Jacksonville. Every social media post I see is just clowning on him. It's hard. Mentally, there's been even more to deal with this week. It's not like he's coming into this week with a clean slate. The only thing that poses a chance for him to play better this week is the fact that Jacksonville, like Pastor Rob said, is not Dallas. They're still an NFL professional football team.
Yeah, they're not as good, but they're not bad.
And, I agree.
Yeah. Yep. They're 2 years away from making the playoffs. Last year, they clashed at the end, or they would have been a playoff team again. And they have, you know, they have a pretty good coach. And, like, I just don't understand. I don't know if it's realistic. I'm expecting more bad than I would be more shocked if it's good than I would be if we come out and it's ass again.
If it's good, I mean, we've got a great roster. We've got a great coaching staff. Like, I do expect it to be good. Do I expect it to be the complete opposite of Sunday? That's what would, like, if they just came out and blew the doors off of them, that would be a little surprising.
One thing that's nice is Kevin Stefanski is usually good after a loss.
This is true. Sure. And I don't think he's ever started 0-2 since he's been here, but Tony, the Italian, wanted to jump up here and kick us off into the kind of the heavy preview stuff. So what's going on, Tony?
Yeah, how are we doing, guys?
Good.
What's going on, brother?
So I think going into Sunday in Jacksonville, some things I was kind of thinking about, because as I know you said, you couldn't finish the All-22, Josh, but I watched, I don't know if more than you or whatever the case may be.
I watched the half.
But I think kind of keys to a lot of what we need to do is, Deshaun can't throw 45 times like we get against Dallas. I think the first thing we need to do is try to establish the run. Even if Ford is still going to lose 3 yards, we have to stay consistent, because if you watch towards the midway point of that Dallas game, I mean, they stopped sending more than 4 guys. I mean, they just drop back their linebackers every single time in coverage, and it's really hard to beat that every single time, I think, for any NFL quarterback. But I think going to this game, you know, he can't throw 45 times. We need to establish a run game, and then fingers crossed, one of our tackles are back. I saw that Jed did practice today, I think I saw that.
They both did.
Both did, yeah. So at least having one of them back to at least hold up the offensive line a little bit more. But I think that is what I think we need to do in order to win this game coming Sunday. And I don't know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I'm gonna piggyback off that. Not only do we need to establish a run game to keep them honest, take a little bit of pressure off Deshaun, we have to limit penalties. It's going to be tough to establish a run game if you're starting every drive at 1st and 15 or 1st and 20. Tough to run the ball in that situation. To me, limit penalties. That's got to be like maybe number one on the list. Is we can't start 50% of our drives at 1st and 15 or 1st and 20.
I agree with that. I'm trying to find my notes here. So the one thing that I wanted to mention before I forgot, we are going to Jacksonville. This is a road game. We talked about it a lot last season. Our defense was not the best on the road last year. Actually, it was one of the worst. We allowed 237 total points, I believe the stat is, on the road last year. Averaged 29.6 points given up on the road. Had a 3-5 record. We talked all offseason, like, that needs to change. The road defense has to get better. It has to be at least like middle of the pack on the road and still be like top 10, top 8, top whatever at home, which I think the defense was okay. It's just they were on the field so much that after a certain point, Dallas just had pure advantage just even in time of possession over us. But we have got to show up on the road in this one.
What I'll say with that, Josh, too, is I've heard a lot of people this week be like, man, we kind of shit on Trevor Lawrence last year, you know, when they came into Cleveland. You know, he might have had 3 touchdowns, but he's picked off 3 times. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of like, almost like just not taking Trevor Lawrence serious heading into this game. I don't know if you guys remember, but he pretty much goofed his knee up and was hurt for about 3 weeks, came into Cleveland pretty banged up. Didn't know if he was even going to play and ended up gutting it out. I know Trevor Lawrence is inconsistent and everything, but I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people, and I don't think anybody's really taking Jacksonville seriously. You know, I think they're like they kind of are just looking past them and being like, the next four are all very easy, winnable games, and I don't see that. Maybe the ones after this, I think it gets a way lightened up, but I don't think that this is a gimme game heading into Jacksonville at all.
No, Tony.
I don't think it's a guy, Josh.
Oh, I was gonna say he posted in here too, just as you were talking, Justin. He said Jacksonville has some very good weapons, like on offense. Yeah, they do. I mean, yeah, Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby was drafted to be a 1-2 punch type of guy with him. It didn't pan out his rookie year, but we saw last week they split carries and he actually outperformed him. They've got a good run game.
Yep.
They've got Christian Kirk, who's established with Trevor Lawrence. They've got Gabe Davis, who can beat you deep. They've got Evan Engram, who is a great tight end and a very reliable, you know, safety blanket target for Trevor Lawrence. And they added Brian Thomas Jr., who looks like he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. So, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us on Sunday. I really think that.
Ran for 128 yards against Miami. Trevor Lawrence only had 139 yards passing on 12 of 21. You got to limit the run game, and you got to make Trevor Lawrence, and you got to pressure Trevor Lawrence. That's how you, I think that's how you go out and you beat Jacksonville. In terms of the defense on the road, like we're kind of talking about, guy that kind of has me a little bit nervous is the Tank Bigsby. We saw him kind of, you've seen that last year, especially on the road, teams just kind of run it down our throats right in the interior of that defense at times. That's his style. I don't want him to have a 20 carry, 160 yard game where he's just got 6 yards of carry and we can't get off the field. And then we got to load up the box and then they start hitting us over the top and all this stuff. So I think you got to take away Tank Bigsby. Don't let Travis Etienne beat you with receiving screen passes and stuff out of the backfield. And let's try stopping a screen and maybe try stopping a jet sweep. Like if Luke Peterson's a good coach, he's a good offensive coach, he's going to know like that's what we struggle with. I fully expect him to run screens, especially with what our pass rush is supposed to be able to do. And I fully expect them to run at least one jet sweep. So don't get killed by this kind of stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Dog Pack, if you followed the show for a while, you know that I recently got married. I got my wedding band at Manly Bands. Now, I opted for something a little more simple, so I just got a plain, simple, gold, polished band from Manly Bands, but that's not everybody, and I'm telling you, they've got so many cool different designs and materials available. They've got stuff. They've got bands made out of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, even dinosaur bones. It's so cool. Just head to manlybands.com, check out the selection, see what they have. They've even got build your own bands if you want to make a custom style band for yourself. And right now, use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, at manlybands.com when you check out, and you'll get 25% off your order. 25% is a big deal. So make sure if you guys are looking for a new wedding band, Blake mentioned last week or two on the show that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight in the last year. And so his wedding band is a little too big for him. So he's thinking about getting a new one. And I told him, I said, just go to Manly Band, see what they got. And the 25% off your order is such a great deal. You really can't beat it. So at least go check it out. See what they have. They've got some really cool stuff. And again, promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, if you decide to buy one, and you'll get 25% off of that purchase. If you don't know your ring size, you can order a free ring size guide. They'll ship it straight to you. You can punch out the little rings and put them on your finger to see which size fits you best. And then every single band you order comes with a free silicone ring for whenever you want to work out or go swimming or whatever you need a silicone band for. You get one for free shipped with your purchase of a Manly Band from manlybands.com. So check it out. Again, manlybands.com. Use promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order. All right, Devontae wants to come on back up. All right, what's going on, man?
All right, fellas, I have a quick question. This is actually for like the whole entire NFL. From one of the stats I was looking at, I think this is only the fifth time in the past, like, odd number of years that really over half the league didn't get over 200 yards
right
in passing. Because I know with looking at the numbers after the game, if you were to just look at Dak's numbers and Deshaun's numbers, Dak only had, I think, maybe 20 more yards. And he still had under 20 completions. So do you guys think that it's a thing of the NFL? Like the defenses eventually had to catch up to the offenses with a couple years ago when they were just lighting everybody up? Or do you think that it's more of the NFL not having the practices and everything else that they used to have, that now there's not a lot of scoring in the beginning? And even last year, there wasn't a lot of scoring as far as overall.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think
it's week one, too.
Offenses are always start a little slower compared to defenses. I think you're seeing a lot of defenses kind of play that too high safety look. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of forcing check downs, and they're not letting you get beat deep and that kind of thing. So I think it's a little bit of both. But like the offense adjusted, they started spreading everybody out, you know, beating everybody deep. These explode, and then now that it took a couple years for the defense to catch up, so now we'll see how long it takes for the offense to adjust to this too high safety look. Do they start just, you know, F by 1,000 cuts? And are defenses willing to do that? Are the defenses willing to just let you sustain 12 and 13 play drives that take 8 minutes? So you don't beat them over the top. 7 points is 7 points. So we'll see how it pans out. But I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's offenses are a little bit slower, and I think defenses are kind of trying to take away the deep pass and kind of make you dink and dunk you down the field.
Yep, I agree with that. Well, Fatal Gnome got his hand up, wants to come on up and chat. What's going on, Fatal Gnome?
I just wanted to bring up what I shared in the Discord the other day. I had started it off because of a Facebook comment I had seen on one of your guys' posts, and the person had commented and said, Watson is a QB who needs game speed, high adrenaline reps. In 2018, after coming off of a surgery and a spectacular rookie season, he passed for 175 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. They went 0-4 and then 1-11 straight. After looking at that, I went back and I looked at their schedule, and sure enough, they had, but here they had lost their first three, so they went 0-3, and then they won 11 straight. And his first game back, and that was after he tore his ACL, and he was coming back from that. So considering how they played this past week against the Cowboys and his stats in that game, well, his first game back was playing Brady and the Patriots, and he had the 176 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. And then the next week, he went 310 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. And then the third game was against the Giants and Manning, and he went 385 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. So if anything track record-wise is to speak on how he comes back from this injury, his first game is usually bad. And then it kind of picks up from there, and it really just comes down to probably how the rest of the game, how the rest of the team plays around him. So hopefully, I mean, if he were to come back and throw for 250 and something, 300 and something, the next couple of games and we end up winning, I mean, I guess at least it would be better than what we had in week one.
Well, yeah, man.
Absolutely.
That's what we're hoping for, obviously. You know, it's, and I'm glad that you brought that up and shared those stats and everything, because that does, you know, bode well for some optimism. It's just, it has been a long, long road to get here. But, I mean, we talked about immediately after the game last week on Monday, said, God, season's not over. It was only week one. I mean, there's obviously room for improvement. This team's not going to look like that every week this year. We're going to be okay. But for how bad it was, it does need to improve a lot this week, in my opinion.
Oh, I guess then let's talk offense then real quick as we're getting close to the end here. What do you need to see out of the offense in terms, obviously Deshaun's got to play better, but just like as a whole, it was not good. We had drops. The line, I know the line didn't play as bad as what it seemed like because of, you know, we know they weren't accredited with any of the pressures and that kind of stuff because Deshaun's holding the ball. But just nobody played really that well. What do you guys want to see offensively this game? What constituted a good offensive performance for you?
You can take this, Justin.
I think one of the big things you touched on already is the penalties. Got to clean that up. I just want us to look like an NFL team this week on all aspects of the game. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt, but I know while I was up there in Cleveland watching it, that was as close to a no-show on every level that I've ever watched in a live game. I didn't go up 2019 to see the Tennessee game, but I know watching that game on TV, I was like, oh, man, whoa. Yikes. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, you know? And I obviously, as a Browns fan, every year I'm going to be drinking the Kool-Aid and we're going Super Bowl or bust. But, like, I can't remember the last time where I was like, yikes. The only position group that I thought looked okay was Darden. You know, that was the takeaway. I was like, well, Darden looked, you know, he set us up pretty decent. But I just like just execution. Look like an NFL team. Look like you want to be out there. Because the body language, from what I saw on Sunday against Dallas, nobody really gave a shit that was out there. That's what I took away from it. And maybe I'm wrong, you know, but to me, we looked flat. We looked completely unprepared. They came in, punched us in the mouth, and we never responded to it for four quarters. I didn't want to see just a little bit of heart out there this week.
I mean, we could get two first downs in the first half and we would double what we had.
It's improvement.
Yeah, like that's ridiculous. So, yes, we got to pick up those first downs. And I just need to see decisiveness out of this offense. Like you were talking about, like look like a real team. Look like you know where you're going with the ball when it's snapped and when the play's being run. And, oh, man, it was just so frustrating because, you know, Blake, we were up at the home opener last year. Justin, I know you were there too. And, you know, and then me and Justin were there this year. I mean, what a night and day difference. I mean, last year against the Bengals, I mean, I lost my voice. I was screaming the whole time. I was having so much fun. The excitement was there. The team was fighting and playing so well. And then this year, I sat in my seat pretty much the whole time and I barely said a word. Like, I just was like, oh, man, yeah, we suck.
The crowd was out of the game halfway through the first quarter.
Yep.
That, honestly, as far as crowd goes, the crowd was a non-factor. You know what I mean? What are we cheering for? What was there to cheer for? There wasn't a lot, you know? So, y'all, I'm with you, man. You're 100% right. And last year, the home opener was miserable. Yeah. It rained the whole time. Yeah. We got rained on for 7 hours, and it was no big deal, you know, because we're going out and we're punching Cincy in the mouth a little bit and, you know, putting it on our rival. I think, and obviously, like, I think Pastor Rob was the one that said it, where he was like, and even maybe it was Blake, the doomsday thing. There's no, we've watched way worse, you know, over the years. There, I don't think there's reason to panic in week two.
Worse?
maybe, yeah. I mean, at least, you know, we knew what we were getting back in the day when we thought it was going to be maybe equally worse. But I think that was the big thing, too, is just so much expectation. And I don't know if maybe the team wasn't ready for that. I know going into this year, the expectations are, you know, this is a championship roster. At least let's make a run at the division roster. You know, we made the playoffs last year with five quarterbacks.
Yep. So real quick, we'll wrap it up here, but Truth Senpai wants to come on up, and we got to bring Brad up here for just at least a second. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, it's your boy, Mr. Negative. I'm just kidding. I just want to remind everybody that even though Sunday was a complete dumpster fire, that we've had a street full dumpster fire when Hugh Jackson was here. And, yeah, I mean, I watched every game from beginning to end, the 0-16 years, so I know complete utter suffering. So,
yeah.
And minus the off-the-field nonsense with Deshaun, I just hope that he just wasn't in his rhythm and then maybe mentally with all that went on the weekend kind of throw him off. I'm just hoping that's the case. The one thing we really, really, really got to sort out is our running game was just pitiful. And I understand we got down quick, so we had to pass, but like it was just like constant passes. We didn't even try like a screen. We didn't try a sweep. We didn't try any gadget plays. None of that.
No motion. Like,
it was very vanilla offense to me.
Oh, so, yeah. It was like vanilla that doesn't have any taste. It was that bad.
Well, and once you start...
It
tastes bad. It tastes like shit, yeah. Once you get so one-dimensional like that, the defense is just pinning their ears back.
Oh, yeah.
You know? They're probably just absolutely feasting because they're going, hey, this guy is notorious for holding onto the ball a little longer than maybe he should, you know? And then all we got to do is just send it. Or, you know, they would just drop back and wait for him to scramble out and keep sending, you know, four at him. And end up, Blake brought it up. He said, you know, he was out running guys, but eventually the guys would just catch him. Just completely catch him from, you know, on the scramble. So, I just want to see just some form of some type of consistent offense, because that wasn't it for me on Sunday.
I guess my offensive, I would like to see Deontay Foreman get more carries.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the offensive line isn't necessarily playing. I mean, I know it was only one game, but I don't know if they're not as elite as they were a few years ago, even on the interior. I didn't get to watch the whole game on the all 22, but from what I watched, like, Obetonio struggled, you know, and he's supposed to be like an anchor on that offensive line. Like, we were not good on the edges, but the interior wasn't better either, especially in run blocking. So I would like to, we don't have time for Ford to, you know, ants and find his hole in take his time. The hole's not going to be there that long if there even is much of one. So maybe he's a more explosive back than Deontay Foreman. Maybe he looks better in shorts. Maybe this week we need a guy who's just going to take the ball and he's just going to ram it through whatever tiny hole there is, and he's going to get 3 yards. And we're going to go Woody Hayes, 3 yards and a cloud of dust for a driver to help make him sink in, open up passing him a little bit. Maybe we need to do a battering ram, a little less finesse. So I'd like to see Foreman get some more carries early to try to help and get the offensive linemen moving forward. Get them, you know, kind of in the business of pushing people around and get them fired up. You always hear linemen like to run block more than they like to pass block. They don't want to kick back and be catching. You know, they want to dominate. They want to enforce their will on these guys. So let's come out with our big bruiser back. Let's set the tone early. Let's run it down their throats a little bit. And then let's open up the pass. Let's get Deshaun comfortable and open up the pass. So I'd like to see Foreman get some early carries.
I totally agree with that, man.
Oh. Well, I don't see any more hands up, and it's getting late.
Yep, we got to
wrap
her up.
Should wrap this thing up. It's about 3 a.m. for Pastor Rob. He's got to get up.
He's off tomorrow.
Oh, he's off tomorrow. Oh, some of us have to work during the week. We appreciate you guys being here. Obviously, to everybody in the Dog Pack who's here listening, if you came in and talked, or if you didn't, you're just here listening. Obviously, you guys know we appreciate you. To anybody who's watching this episode on YouTube or wherever you're listening to, we appreciate you tuning in, checking out this preview episode. Also, talked a little Deshaun. Let us know in the comments what you think. What do you expect out of Deshaun going into this week? What do you think is going to happen league-wise in terms of off-the-field stuff? And just what do you want to see from the team in general heading into Jacksonville in what feels like a pretty big week two, about as big of a week two game as you could ever have probably in the National Football League, in terms of just kind of calming some of the chaos that's going on around the team early in the season. So let us know what you guys think. Drop it in the comments or leave us a voicemail. We'll play it sometime. So again, we appreciate you guys being here, and go Browns. Hopefully talking to you guys with much better spirits early next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over, so you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.